Welcome to The Art of the Impossible, a podcast that explores how the design and manufacturing industry can leverage technology, processes, and people to make the impossible possible. I'm Asif Mogul, Director of Market and Industry Development at Autodesk, and each week I'll be joined by industry experts to share the challenges they face and what they're doing to overcome them. From smart products, mass customization, digitization, supply chain, and the convergence of once diverse industries, this podcast is for business leaders who are interested in making things happen. You can subscribe by following us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. So welcome to series three of the podcast. Digital transformation, it's a subject that's on many leaders' minds. And actually, when we meet them, we tend to ask them, what does it mean to them? One of the really common bits of feedback we hear is it's really about integration of the various systems that you have in your business so that you can drive levels of productivity, efficiency. I mean, there's so many benefits to integration, and that's really the subject of today's call. When done well, it can have dramatically powerful effects, but if it's not done so well, it can actually slow the whole business down. So how do you get your systems to work together? How do you attack the topic of integration? And once you implement it, how do you manage it internally? And so that's the subject of today's conversation. And I'm delighted to welcome my guest for today's episode, Alexander Bradfisch, a Senior Vice President of EntryWorks at dormakaba. So Alex, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me here.
You're welcome. So let's sort of kick off then. Tell us a little bit, Alex, about dormakaba, your role, what you do as a company, the sort of markets you serve.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm responsible for the integration of products from dormakaba into door solutions. So my job at dormakaba is to bring the various products that dormakaba produces together to combine them to a complete solution at the door. So dormakaba is producing hardware like door closers, like locks, like swing door operators, so sliding doors. And all those components have to work together around a door to fulfill a certain requirement. So that means the function of a door, like escape route, fire protection, or whatever it might be. And all those products have to talk to each other. And that's my job, to integrate the products to talk to each other according to the required function.
And when you say talk to each other, could you just expand on what you mean by that? Are we talking about smart products? Are they kind of intelligent products that talk to each other?
All the products are intelligent enough to communicate with other products around the door or in a building. But what you are not having is that the product automatically knows what the door should do. So one very small example that probably everyone knows: when you approach an automated door, like a swing door, where in a building, and you want to enter the door. And you are going into the radar, and then most of the times you have to stop, you count 21, 22, 23, and then the door opens. And that's because you are running into the sensor. The sensor has to tell the lock, okay, please get the bolt out. Then the bolt says, okay, dear swing door operator, now you can start moving the door. And if that is not coordinated in the right manner, then you have to wait 1 or 2 seconds. And the goal was that we actually know what kind of purpose has the door to serve, and then program the products in a way that this works automatically from the first place.
Okay, interesting. And I suppose the other thing that could happen is what happened to me last week is that you kind of walk too fast towards the door. You actually walk into it, as I did at Bristol Airport when I came back from Barcelona.
Exactly. And when you add additional functions to that, what happens in case of a fire? What happens in case of an emergency? What do you have if a wheelchair is approaching the door, or handicapped people, whatever. And this is the thing where you have to have intelligent people to program all this, and we found a way to pre-program it and don't have to have all the specialists around the door to program all this, because all those products around the door that have to be combined are installed by a specialist. And if you want to have them communicating to each other, you need 3 or 4 people that have to meet at the door to spend 2 or 3 hours to get the door running. And this is inefficient time, because we know up front what the door should do, and then we can program it.
So tell me if I've got this right, Alex. It sounds like the challenge that you identified as a business is you've got lots of kind of like say individual products with a level of intelligence.
Yeah.
And on their own, they seem to work fantastically.
Yeah.
But from if I understand you correctly, these products don't work in isolation. They have to work as part of a system.
Exactly.
And is it correct that that's the problem you identified? You identified how do you make the system talk to each other more intelligently? Is that correct? And could you explain that a bit more?
That's exactly the point. What we did when we started this journey, we identified a topic that our product divisions were developing products independent from each other, not talking to each other that mm-hmm. good. And what we did almost 3 years ago now, we ordered our own products to build a door. And what we ended up with, individual products, no description of how to wire them together, no description how to bring them into operations. And we wanted to change that for our own company. And then after that, we also started our journey to talk to our customers because they were facing the same problems, because they are losing time during the process. And when you look at the whole process, then we're at the start of creating an ecosystem. So that was basically what we did. We found out that the whole industry is producing very intelligent and very high quality products that fulfill a certain part at the door, but the door is used as a complete system and not like same with when you have a lock and a cylinder in it, two products, two companies. And this has to be synchronized to get the whole system working in a way that the customer has more convenience usage of it and less failure of combining the products to a certain solution.
Okay, that's fascinating. So, and it brings me to my next question, Alex. A lot of our customers will say things like we want to go on a digital transformation journey because there's a huge cost or a risk we want to manage. And others will go on a journey because there's an opportunity to do something better, which would perhaps create a level of like competitive difference for them. Which would you say was the driving force behind, you know, your project?
Our driving force was we wanted to simplify the way products can be combined at the door. And all the people were thinking about a configurator or something like that. And what we did was we were starting with the customer. We were saying, okay, when you have to build a swing door with, I don't know, access control, escape route function, and fire protection, whatever it might be, a kind of a function, what do you have to do? And what we found out that the people we are dealing with are looking at the same system in a different way. So we were talking to an architect, we were talking to installers, we were talking to general contractors, to facility managers, and to investors. And everyone has a different interest. And what we try to find out is to solve the problem of those customers. That means if the architect wants to know how the door is designed, BIM data, specification text, whatever it might be, then we deliver this information to him. And keep the information and go from there to the next step where the general contractor needs a wiring diagram, a list of components, support for commissioning. And then keeping that information going to the next step to the facility manager who wants to know, is the door open? Is the door closed? How can I fix a problem if an error occurs? And this information brought us to the digital transformation path because you need a database for all this.
Right.
And we were starting to say, okay, how can we provide the information, not how can we fix the communication problem? How can we provide the information for everyone who is using our products in that journey? And this was the breakthrough from my point of view, because we were not thinking about how can we solve the problem that we have at our product. We were thinking about how is the product used and how does the customer looks at the door and provide the information he needs. And that led us to the digital path that we did, because what we did was we started to describe door situations. So what we did today is we were saying, okay, how does a door look that has escape route function, fire protection, and, for example, a surveillance with access control. And then we put those components around the door, drew a wiring diagram, and provided a list of components. Put that in the database and said everyone who wants to have it can use it. And then we started to bring that information to the architect, just a small part that the architect needs. Then we provided the information to the general contractor in a different tool, but from the same database, with exactly the information that the general contractor needs or the installer. And at the end, when the door is installed, we were able to transfer the information about the status of the door to the facility manager, which is also the part that he needs. And then you have suddenly all this is connected. And when you know the function in advance, then you can also, and then we started to solve our own problem, because when you know the function in advance, then you can store all the information in a digital twin, how the products have to operate between each other. It's like a pre-configuration.
Oh my God, there's so much there to unpack. Actually, you started by focusing on your customers, and there's several different customers. Okay, you talked to the architect, the contractor, the installer. There's five or six customers. I think what you said is you put yourself in their shoes.
Exactly.
And said, what problems are they struggling with on a regular basis? And you tried to solve those. Yeah. And I guess the benefit of that is that you just become much easier to work with. That perhaps they would prefer to work with you than maybe someone else. And then as a byproduct of that, you actually solve some problems for your own company. So there was like an internal and an external benefit of your transformation story. So yeah. That's one thing that sort of jumped out. The second thing that jumped out was it sounds like you modeled. I don't mean sort of modeling in 3D modeling. You kind of model the systems, mm-hmm. Like you configured systems and modeled them. And sort of like captured all the information needed. And you made those available as almost like, as you say, like templates.
Exactly.
So people drag and drop, and so there's a high level of efficiency, and I suppose you just eliminate wasted time by doing things that way.
That's exactly it's increasing productivity, because what we did is and that was part of the experience, because I was working also as a system integrator for a couple of years, and what we were always facing is you have 20 doors that have the same functions in a building, and you have 20 different versions to solve this with products and how to configure those. And what we found out is if we pre-configure this solution, and this is already available with all the information for everyone, then they stop reconfiguring everything new. So what we faced is there are certain barriers between the different phases in a building. When the architect does his design and his function description, and this is going out into a tender in the market, the data is lost because everyone is taking the tender and is interpreting it in his way. Then the installer or the general contractor receives an order, and then they start doing execution planning, wiring diagrams, they connect it to the electricity, whatever it does. And this is going through the whole construction phase. So between design and construction, there's a gap. And after you put that into operation, there's again a gap, because the documentation is already old when you hand over the building. And the facility manager has to re-type all the things in his own database. And we wanted to use that data from one step to the next and also find out where changes happen.
You kind of started talking about the process of how you started your kind of digital transformation journey. You kind of called it a database. Now, I guess when some of our other customers hear that, some people will think, just a database, it sounds easy. And other people might think, oh my God, actually that sounds quite difficult. How easy or difficult was it for you to go through that process? Could you just talk us through that experience?
Yeah, that's really a funny experience, because when I started with Don Macabre, because I was hired for that project, I started to look for people who are actually capable of combining the Don Macabre products at the door for a complete solution. And the number of people that were capable of doing that were one, maybe two hands in a company with 15,000 people. So that means the company wasn't used to work like that. And then we started to say, okay, how can we solve that the development departments of those product divisions the sales support and the people that draw the solutions start to talk to each other and to find out what the best capable way is to bring the products to talk together. And then we identified two persons that started to draw door solutions and explain that to the development departments, talk about the obstacles, and also talk to the customers what we need to improve. And that was the start of the journey. And once we had the database with the solutions, then it was easier for every developer to understand what the problem might be when they develop their own products. Just a very simple example. When you are steering a door in a building, there has to be one device that is the master that says, okay, you're first, you're second, you're third, whatever, to talk to each other so that we have the right order of how the door operates. In our constellation, and we are not the only one in the market, the swing door operator wants to be the master, the safe route terminal wants to be the master, the access control system wants to be the master, and the lock wants to be the master. So you have four people out of four products that want to be coordinating the whole system. And now we had to find out, okay, which one of those devices has to be the one in which constellation that is the master. And we ended up with, we needed to change the way we develop products at the end. But we started with that, and everyone was arguing why he should be the master. And that's part of the problem. Because when you have in a regular, traditional way to bring a door into operation, you have two or three people that argue how to program the door, because everyone has a different perspective. And we started that to describe what is the purpose of the door at the end, and then we designed the product. And this is maybe the biggest improvement that we did at Door Macabre, also for our own productivity, which was kind of a side effect, not the main target.
And so that's another really interesting theme that always comes up in these sort of conversations is the people. Getting your people on board can be the reason why a transformation project is successful, or it could be a reason why a project is not successful. Was that an easy process for you in terms of getting your people on board?
That is the process that is still ongoing, and it's the hardest process of all, because it's easier to convince a developer because he has benefits in his daily work than convincing a sales organization or customers to change the way to look at the process they have today. And that's what we are working on constantly. That was also part of the implementation of EntryWorks in our markets, because when you are used to go to your customer and explain a single product, you're arguing in a different way than to explain the customer that he has benefits for a complete door, because it's more complex and it's not that easy to oversee the whole complexity of the solution at the end. And that's what we are doing here. We are training people how to look at an ecosystem, how to use the tools, how to see the benefits in productivity for the customers to sell, and not to sell features of a single product.
So I think historically you might focus on the benefits of a door, the speed of the door opening and the power consumption, everything related to that door as a product. What I'm hearing you say now is that your customers are interested in things that are much bigger than that. Maybe the amount of throughput through the building, maybe the energy consumption of the door, maybe other factors which go more towards the holistic management of a building. And it sounds like that's what you've kind of been focused on with this sort of like connected ecosystem of doors.
When you save time during a process, you can do more work with the same amount of people, which is a critical discussion that we are facing in the industry anyway, because we don't have that much educated people to do all the work that is there. And that's the one thing. The second thing is when you look at all the benefits that you are overcoming with the proposals of a template, and you get the template information through the whole process, you're talking about all the things that no one likes to do, because talk to an architect about door list, no one likes that. Talk to a general contractor about monitoring the changes in the building through construction. No one likes that. Talk to the documentation of a building to hand it over to the facility manager. No one likes that. Talk to a facility manager who needs to find out who to call when the door is not working properly. No one likes that. So we were facing benefits for situations people are not interested in their daily work. Which is always a pain, and that was the good thing of the ecosystem, and I think that's why it was so successful, because we were facing the pain points, the actual pain points of the customers, because they had to do things that they didn't like, and by using our templates, it was not that important which product is at the door. The result was the more important product that we were selling.
So you basically focused on taking your customers' pain away. Whether we have a saying, or a saying I use a lot, is like, we shouldn't try and sell headaches, we should try and sell aspirins.
Exactly.
And it sounds like you know what you've done, your strategy is like, focus on, this is an aspirin. If you take this, dear customer, it'll take a specific, you know, quite a series of pains away. So talking about successful, what's been the impact to Dormakaba as a business of this transformation so far?
We have two streams. The one is the very obvious, that we are facing very high recognition in the market for working with Dormakaba to execute big projects, because we are driving standardization. So it's a clear fact that if you use the templates, you save money in the execution, not on the product, but on the process. So that's the one thing where we see, okay, we have advantages in the market, because our product gives them the opportunity to save money during the process. That's the one thing. The second thing that we were facing is that we get access to deciders in the process when we have big projects, which we were having a hard time to get even interviews or appointments. Because when you are a hardware producer at the door and you're talking to an investor and they have, I don't know, hundreds of appointments like that, then usually they're looking at you as the company that brings devices to your building, and they want to use that. That's fine. But usually they are handing over the decision to someone in the chain.
Yeah.
Now, with that ecosystem and with that standardization and that proof of that we are saving time and money for them, and having a clear documentation at the end, they are starting to talk to the people that are in the chain and say, hey, you have to talk to those guys with Dormakaba, because I want them to use our tools or the templates or whatever it is. And that's, from my perspective, the biggest impact that we are facing, that we get access to this process as a company. And this is a good thing, because then it gives us the confirmation that we're working on the right thing.
So very clearly, I hear that, you know, brand recognition of Dormakaba is up. And what I think I'm hearing you say is that your relationship with your ecosystem has become much more of a strategic one, instead of just, we just need to buy these bits and let's get them as cheap as possible. Your customers are now saying, well, actually, Dormakaba is a strategic partner. So there's some very, very clear, I mean, you could easily extrapolate the benefits to the bottom line of having those two powerful things in the business. So sounds like that was very successful. So looking back over the transformation you've done so far, what would you say the biggest challenge you faced was in this project? Was it the people? Was it the technology? Was it just the strategy? You know, what was the biggest challenge you faced?
The biggest challenge is always the people, because when you look at Dormakaba and the challenges that we had, is we had to overcome the silos that we had in the company. So you have a division that develop automatic doors, you have a division that develop locks, you have a division that develop safe route, and you need to bring those together and having the ability to make them talk to each other. And at the beginning, it was like, yeah, we were having that conversation for 2 or 3 hours. Now we make a decision. And at the end, sometimes I had to say, we are doing it this way, and then just believe me. And once we were creating the first success stories there, then people said, okay, this might be worth discussing with that without someone monitoring that is part of EntryWorks. And this is, and we were, we were overcoming the way we talk to the market. We were overcoming the way we develop products. And this is probably something that changed, I don't want to say the culture, but it is it changed the way people were looking at different problems and to how to solve them. And it's more agile and more only that people talk to each other when they solve a problem, that they know that they're there to help them. This improved the way dramatically.
And if you had to do the whole thing again, would there be anything you would do differently?
Probably I would start with the ecosystem first, because we were starting with the database and with the templates, and then we started to develop projects, and then we were developing the way the database and the applications talk to each other. And this is kind of the hierarchy, how data is exchanged was more complicated to fix after that, because we were starting to solve the initial problem of creating door templates and door solutions, and then having to create the ecosystem and the cloud application and the digital twin structure. This should have been designed in the first place, but took us a little bit longer, but now the result is good. You're not thinking about those problems when you don't know which structure you must have to have in a twin to deploy the information.
I suppose if you're doing something new that's never been done before, then how do you know what to plan for? It's a bit sort of like it's a catch 22, isn't it?
Yeah.
But what's really great about this story is, it sounds like you didn't waste time sort of like theorizing about that too much. You identified something and you just got on with it. You did it.
Yeah.
And it seems like you kept modifying and adapting as you went. Would you say that's a fair way to?
Exactly. That was always part of the journey. And that's why we also found out some very funny things. Just let me give you a small example. When you have a door and the firmware on the product is outdated. Today, every facility manager has to call a service technician and they have to go to the door and update the firmware on it. And we wanted to automate that, because everyone in a smartphone gets his firmware automatically without going into an Apple store or into another store to update the firmware. But when you are doing that, you need to have a buffer on the product, and you need to have the architecture to deploy the information to the products. And we didn't have that in every product division because it wasn't necessary. And now you have to design the product and the process and the twin to fulfill the requirements of this small thing that you want to put firmware on it remotely, which is a clear thing. And of course, obvious that you need to solve that. But yeah. And that's funny, because that's part of the journey.
And that's a really interesting point, is that, again, when we talk about digital transformation to a lot of our customers and colleagues in the industry, I think historically technological changes were seen as projects. I'm old enough to remember the Y2K, okay, so the year 2000 virus thing. It was like, we start, we finish, we do it, then we just put it away and we never look back. Now, it seems like there's more and more companies that are just viewing this as a continuous journey. It's a journey of continuous improvement. We just happen to be using technologies to help us on the route. Would you say that's a fair description of it, or do you see it differently?
Yeah, for me, it's a clear focus of the overall ecosystem that we are having here. Also, a small example, we started with the swing door. Having a swing door operator, lock, and all the products that you need for the solutions. Now we are transforming this: two leaf doors, sliding doors, revolving doors. There are so many products that need to be onboarded on the ecosystem, and there will be things that we didn't think about. And we have to manage this on the journey forward. And this was also the big benefit of this journey that we had here. I had the freedom to work on this and discover all the obstacles that are there and to develop that with the team, because I started as a one-man show. Now we are 12 or 13 people who are working on this. So this increases the complexity at the end, but it's part of the journey, and that was part of the job description as well. And when you want to be successful there, people need to be able in their daily business to focus on the topics that you discover there. Otherwise, no way forward.
So what's, I mean, sounds like you're doing some amazing things at the business. So what's next for Dormakaba? Obviously, without giving away anything commercially sensitive, just what's next? What's next for you in the business? What challenges are you wanting to look at next?
Yeah, we are going to bring the ecosystem on all continents that we are working with. So we are heavily working on the rollout in the Americas, which starts in a week. We are rolling it out in Australia as a first start and in Singapore. So this is part of the next challenges that we have here. And then, of course, extend the participants of the ecosystem from product-wise, having also the possibility to talk to building management systems to develop standard interfaces with customers, because that's also maybe a funny point. People don't want to use different applications. They want to work in their own applications, but have the data. So what we are facing right now is that we have strategic customers that work with us, where we are not giving them a login for the application. They just have a standard API and transferring data, and they use the data about the doors. And this is also the next step. What we are working on, to have standard interfaces and not to have interfaces that have to be programmed for every customer. So that's also something. Driving standardization forward is one of the things that we are going to do next.
Last couple of questions. So one is what we ask every single one of our guests, and then a new question that not even like the podcast team know about. So I think they're probably worried a bit. So the first question, Alex, is if you have to give one bit of advice to someone like another leader in the design and manufacturing industry, it doesn't matter wherever they are in the world, what's the one piece of advice you would give someone about how to successfully do a digital transformation project? What would that advice be?
Actually, two. The one is listen to the customer and start with the customer. That's the one thing. And that's the harder part. The second advice is the harder part. You have to challenge everything you did before, because the result of what we developed here is simply changing everything that Dormakaba did in the past in the way they did it, not the work itself, but the way they did it. Development processes, sales processes, the approach to talk to customers. You have to be open enough to challenge whatever happened before. And that's the funny thing. Technology is already there. The technology part is actually the easiest one. And the biggest failure that you can have is only focus on technology, because it will be different tomorrow.
Okay, superb bits of advice. And then the second question, which is completely new, is there a business book that you found particularly inspiring that you would want all your colleagues all around the world to have read?
There is a book that I read. It's about agile organizations. Can't remember the name right now. I have to look it up because I read it a couple of years ago. But it's about digital transformation and how programs and organizations are working in the future. And it's not about structures and hierarchies and linear organization. It's about bringing the right teams together and working the agile. Agile organizations is the topic, but I can leave it for your notes and give you the information afterwards, because this is really great. It's kind of outdated from technology wise, but how people work together in the teams, that's actually what I was inspired the most.
Okay, great recommendation. So thanks very much, Alex. I'm going to try and summarize everything that I've heard you say today in three bullet points. So this is like my challenge. So I think I've heard you say that firstly, digital transformation is a journey, and we shouldn't start with technology. What we should start with is an outcome, and the outcome is really customer focus. That's the first thing that I heard you say. The second thing I heard you say was you need to find the right people inside your organization to kind of challenge everything and the way you do stuff. And then you build a strategy around that. And the third thing is you use that, what you've developed with this small group of people, to influence your customers. Then that influence expands to the rest of the business. It expands, as you said, to globally. So I think those are the three key lessons I've taken away from you. Would you say that resonates with what you said?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's also part of the key success. And it's good for me that you got the message, because then I explained it kind of right. but that's exactly the main thing. If you're not having those guys that look a little bit weird in your organization because they're different, then you have no chance.
Yeah. Yeah. You need that sort of disruptive thinking. So what a great kickoff to Series 3. So I want to thank you, Alex, for being such a great guest. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and we will see you on the next episode of The Art of the Impossible. So thanks, and see you next time.